Welcome to the Little Learner Storytime Podcast. Are you ready to play? Let's go. Hi, friends. It's Miss Molly from Orem Library. I am so excited you came to Storytime today. Do you have your special grown-up ready to play too? I hope so. When you come to Storytime together, you'll have someone to do the activities with, so you don't have to do them all by yourself. You'll have way more fun, and you'll learn much better. So be sure to tell your grown-up thank you for doing Storytime with you today.
Thank you.
It is a very special month for me right now. It's the month of March. Who knows a holiday that happens in March? I'm thinking of a day where you're supposed to wear a certain color. And that color is green. Do you know what day that is I'm thinking of? And if you don't wear green, sometimes you get pinched. Did you say St. Patrick's Day? If you did, you are right. St. Patrick's Day is in March. It's a day where we wear green clothes and decorate with four-leaf clovers and leprechauns. It's also a holiday that started in Ireland. So, for story time today, we'll be doing lots of songs and stories about Ireland. Let's start with a nursery rhyme. It's called How Many Miles to Dublin? Dublin is a city in Ireland. So can we pretend we're in Ireland, where they have pretty green hills and old castles? So for this rhyme, we have to bounce, because we're pretending we are riding a horse. Can you bounce? Show me you're bouncing. And grown-ups, if your child is small enough, you can bounce them on your lap. That's so much fun. You can show them how to hold the reins, too, for their horses. Okay, so our rhyme goes like this. How many miles to Dublin? 60. You can hold up 3 fingers there if you want. Will we be there by sunset? You can hold your arms up like you're asking a question. And now nod your head. Yes, and back again. So hop, hop, my little horse, hop, hop again. Hop, hop, my little horse, hop, hop again. Good job, friends. I think we've learned it so well, let's pretend we're riding our horses. Let's start bouncing now. Okay, here it goes. How many miles to Dublin? 60. You can hold up 3 fingers. Will we be there by sunset? Yes, and back again. So hop, hop, my little horse, hop, hop again. Hop. Hop, my little horse, hop, hop again. We're getting so good at this. This time, when we say the first hop, let's bounce extra high for fun. Or if you're on your grown-up's lap, maybe if they're strong, they can lift you up. Let's see. Okay, let's start bouncing. How many miles to Dublin? 60. Will we be there by sunset? Yes, and back again. So hop, hop, my little horse, hop, hop again. Hop, hop, my little horse, hop, hop again. You are such good horse riders. I'm thinking let's do it one more time, but this time extra fast. Let's get our galloping bounces ready. We're in a big rush to get to Dublin. Okay, here we go. How many miles to Dublin? 60. Will we be there by sunset? Yes, and back again. So hop, hop, my little horse, hop, hop again. Hop, hop, my little horse, hop, hop again. Yay! Awesome job, friends. You are great horse riders. It sounds like we made it all the way to Dublin. Okay, I think we are warmed up and ready for a song. And this is a silly song about a man in Ireland named Michael Finnegan. To do this song, we're going to do a lot of actions. So for this first part, let's start off by clapping. Okay, this first part of the song goes like this. There was an old man named Michael Finnegan. He had whiskers on his chin again. So when you say chin again, you can tap your chin because he had hair on his chin, whiskers on his chin. He shaved them off, but they grew in again. Poor old Michael Finnegan. For that last part, when we say poor old Michael Finnegan, let's roll our arms. And we'll say that part for every verse. So let's try it. Roll your arms. Poor old Michael Finnegan. Is that so silly? I love this song because it's so funny. Let's try that first verse again. There was an old man named Michael Finnegan. Now tap our chins. He had whiskers on his chin again. Now back to clapping. He shaved them off, but they grew in again. Now roll our arms. Poor old Michael Finnegan. And then at the end, we say, begin again, because it rhymes with his name. Okay, let's try that part all the way through without help. There was an old man named Michael Finnegan. He had whiskers on his chin again. He shaved them off, but they grew in again. Poor old Michael Finnegan. Begin again. Awesome job! I think we've got that part. Let's do the next part. And now, guess what? Michael Finnegan is going fishing. Do you know how to hold a fishing rod? Grown-ups, can you show what it looks like to use a fishing rod? You cast it, and then you roll one hand to reel the fish back in. All right, here we go with our song. There was an old man named Michael Finnegan. He went fishing with a pin again. So he's using a pin like a fishing hook. So let's pretend to be fishing. Cast your line out. Do you think Michael will catch a fish? Well, let's find out. He caught a fish, but it flopped back in again. Oh no, he didn't catch a fish. Well, he sort of did, but he lost it. So when I clap that part, I like to flop my hands back and forth like a floppy fish. Can you try that? He caught a fish, but it flopped back in again. Okay, now we roll our arms. Poor old Michael Finnegan. You guys are getting it so well. Let's try that part again. There was an old man named Michael Finnegan. Now pretend you're holding your fishing rod. He went fishing with a pin again. He caught a fish, but it flopped back in again. Poor old Michael Finnegan. Begin again. All right, now we just have the last verse. And I like this part because we get to run. So get your running feet ready. Or if you're sitting down, you can move your arms like you're running. Let's clap. There was an old man named Michael Finnegan. He ran a race and tried to win again. Okay, so let's run fast for that part. Ready? Fast, 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 fast. Run, 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 run. Oh, I'm getting all tired out. He fell down and bumped his shin again. Oh no, he bumped his shin. Do you know where your shin is on your body? Your shin is on your leg. It's like the front part below your knee. So for this part of the song, we'll tap our shin 3 times. Let's try it. He fell down and bumped his shin again. Good, now let's roll our arms. Poor old Michael Finnegan. We did it! We made it through the whole song. Should we try it all together? Let's see if we can even remember the beginning now. There was an old man named Michael Finnegan. Tap your chin. He had whiskers on his chin again. He shaved them off, but they grew in again. Poor old Michael Finnegan. Begin again. Now for the fishing part. There was an old man named Michael Finnegan. He went fishing with a pin again. He caught a fish, but it flopped back in again. Poor old Michael Finnegan. Begin again. And now the running part. There was an old man named Michael Finnegan. He ran a race and tried to win again. He fell down and bumped his shin again. Poor old Michael Finnegan. Yay, good job, friends! Isn't that such a fun song? Sometimes I like to sing that song faster and faster, because then it gets trickier and trickier. And this is especially fun if you have older kids in your family, because it can be a challenge to see how much you can remember and how fast you can say it. You did such a good job. Give yourselves a big hand. I think we are ready for a story. Today's story is about three leprechauns. And we have a very special guest to tell our story today. His name is Curtis, and he is a storyteller. So, I hope that you are all ready to hear Curtis's story about three leprechauns.
Hello, my name is Curtis, and I'm a storyteller. I love to tell stories and to help other people tell stories. Like Miss Molly said, I'm going to tell a story about leprechauns. Once upon a time, in old Ireland, there lived three leprechauns. They were brothers. Maybe you didn't know, but leprechauns make shoes. And when they make shoes, you can hear the sound of their little hammers going tap, tap, tap. So the three leprechaun brothers worked, with the sound of their tapping filling the hillside like music. Soon, the big folk started to build their houses closer and closer to the leprechaun's field. And big folk sometimes like to catch leprechauns. If a human caught a leprechaun, they were bound by their magic to say where they'd hidden their pot of gold. So each of the brothers decided to hide their gold. The oldest brother hid his in the roots of a tree. The middle brother hid his gold under a berry bush. And the youngest brother was very tricky and wouldn't tell his brothers where he had hidden his gold. One day, sure enough, a man named Tom built his house right on the edge of the leprechaun's field. He went walking through the hills and heard the sound of tap, tap, tapping coming from around a tree. He snuck up so quietly and peeked his head around, and sure enough, there were the three leprechaun brothers tapping away on some shoes. He took his coat and sprang from behind the tree. The coat fell on the oldest two brothers like a net, but the littlest was too quick and too small, and he fled away. When Tom saw he caught two leprechauns, he said, "Now you have to tell me where your pot of gold is." The two brothers looked at each other. They decided to be sneaky and only tell where one of their pots of gold was. The oldest brother said, "Since you caught us, like, there's really nothing to be done. Our pot of gold is hidden in the roots of a big birch tree by the curve of the river." The littlest brother was hiding nearby. He heard what his oldest brother said and took off running for the river. Tom was pleased as can be to learn where the gold was. He knew that tree well, and he knew that the leprechaun's magic forced them to tell the true hiding place. So he let the leprechauns free and went straight for the birch tree. But when he arrived, he searched among all the roots and dug in the underbrush, but he couldn't find the pot of gold. For the littlest leprechaun was so small and so quick that he'd arrived first and had taken the gold and moved it for safekeeping. So the gold was long gone, and so were the leprechauns. Months went by, and the leprechauns found a safer spot deep in the forest to work on their shoes. But Tom went walking through the trees often to see if he could find a leprechaun. One day, he heard the tap-tap-tapping of little hammers coming from around a large boulder. He sprang around the boulder and threw his coat like before. Again, he caught the older two leprechauns, but the littlest was too small and too fast, and he fled away. When Tom saw he had caught both leprechauns, he said, "You tricked me last time. I won't be so easily fooled this time. Tell me where your pot of gold is." The two brothers looked at each other. The middle brother spoke this time, and he said, "Sure, well, since you caught us, there's really nothing to be done. Our pot of gold is hidden under the berry bush near the forest clearing." They moved to run away, but Tom said, "Not so fast. Last time you moved the gold by the time I arrived. This time you'll take me to your pot of gold straight away so I know you aren't tricking me." The littlest brother overheard them and was now far ahead of them, racing ahead for the berry bush. When the older two leprechauns and Tom arrived, the middle brother said, "Here's where I hid my pot of gold." Tom looked under the berry bush. He saw a black pot sitting in the branches. He reached under, so full of visions of how he would spend his fortune. When he looked in the pot, though, there was only one gold coin, sitting all alone. For the littlest brother had arrived before them, taken all but the one coin, and hidden it away for safekeeping. "There you have it," said the middle brother, "a pot with gold in it." Tom was still looking in shock at the near-empty pot, and the two older leprechaun brothers fled away laughing. Months went by, and the leprechauns found a safer spot near the seaside to work on their shoes. Tom bought himself a nice hat with his single gold coin, but he kept searching up and down the countryside for leprechauns. One day, he heard the tap-tap-tapping of little hammers coming from a tall patch of grass. He sprang out like before, but this time he knew it was the littlest leprechaun who was the true troublemaker. He chased the small one around in circles until he finally caught him by the scruff of his collar. Tom said, "I finally caught you. You're the one who's been moving all the gold before I can get to it. You must tell me where all the gold is, and no tricks this time." The littlest leprechaun looked at his brothers and sighed. "Well, since you caught me, there's really nothing to be done. I took all the gold and hid it somewhere you'll never think to look." Tom screwed up his face and said, "Tell me where it is right this minute." The littlest leprechaun pointed up to the sky. "Why, I hid it at the end of the rainbow." Tom peered up and saw a rainbow stretching into the sky. The end of the rainbow was so high up, why, it disappeared right into the clouds. Tom said, "You hid it all the way up there." The little leprechaun nodded. "Yes, it's very high." Tom stomped the ground. "But that's impossible. I'll never reach it all the way up there." The little leprechaun said, "You could if you tried very hard." Tom knew he was defeated. He let the little leprechaun go and angrily slumped back to his cottage. He'd squandered away so much of his time chasing leprechauns that he'd neglected to sow his fields at all. So he got his seeds out and started his planting, though it was certainly very late in the season. Meanwhile, the two older leprechaun brothers were baffled. The oldest brother said, "To hide our gold up in the clouds, like, what a hiding place, but how did you manage it?" The middle brother said, "Did a bird fly you up so high?" The littlest leprechaun laughed. "Oh, nothing quite so grand." And he packed some bread and cheese in their packs that they slung over their shoulders. They walked and trekked over the hills. They went so far that they came to a foggy cliff that sat behind the clouds and seemed to reach into the sky. And up there, among the rocks, once they'd moved several aside, was all their gold. The two oldest leprechauns laughed. "Well, I think we came out the luckiest this fine day. Lucky to have the cleverest brother in all of Ireland." And the little leprechaun got out his flute and played a merry tune as they danced a jig all the way home.
That was such a fun story. Thank you, Mr. Clough, for telling us a story today. Can we give him a round of applause? I think you were such good listeners that now we need to move around again. That story was all about leprechauns. So let's do a little poem about leprechauns. Leprechauns are like little magic people. They normally wear all green and sometimes have red hair. Let's pretend we're going on a walk in the forest. So stand up so you can march. Stand up, stand up. Or if you have to sit down, you can swing your arms like you're hiking. Okay, here we go. Our poem says, up the airy mountain and down the rushy glen. Now shake your finger like you're saying no. We dare not go a-hunting for fear of little men. Show with your hands how small a leprechaun is. Is he pretty small? How small do you imagine they are? Okay, here's the rest of the poem. We folk, good folk, trooping all together. Are you still hiking? We folk, good folk, trooping all together. Green jacket? Where do you wear your jacket? Touch your arms, like you're fixing your jacket. Red cap? Where do you wear a cap? Touch your head. And a white owl's feather. Good job. That is an old poem by William Allingham. Should we try it again? Get your arms ready so we can start walking. Here we go. Up the airy mountain and down the rushy glen. Shake your finger. We dare not go hunting for fear of little men. Show how small they are with your hands. How big are they? We folk, good folk, trooping all together. Green jacket, fix your jacket. Red cap, touch your head, and a white owl's feather. Where do you think the leprechauns wear that feather? Do you think they wear it in their hat? Or maybe they wear it in the pocket of their jacket? That's fun to imagine. Well, good job, friends. Isn't that a fun poem? You'll have to keep your eyes open when you're walking out in nature to see if you can see any leprechauns. Especially in March. We have one more fun song, and this song is a lullaby. So it's a song we sing when it's bedtime. Can you go give your grown-up a big hug? Maybe you can snuggle up together when you sing this song. Or we can close our eyes and pretend to go to sleep or rock back and forth. This song has a bunch of sounds that are pretty sounds, but they aren't real words. It goes, too-ra-loo-ra-loo-ral, too-ra-loo-ra-lie. Can you say, too-ra-loo-ra-loo-ral? That's kind of tricky. Let's try it again. Too-ra-loo-ra-loo-ral. And the next part is almost the same, but it goes too-ra-loo-ra-li. Let's try them both together. Ready? Too-ra-loo-ra-loo-ral, too-ra-loo-ra-li. All right, that will get us through this song. Let's get all snuggled up. Find a nice comfy pillow if you have one available, and we'll sing our song. It goes like this. Too-ra-loo-ra-loo-ral, too-ra-loo-ra-li, too-ra-loo-ra-loo-ral, hush, now don't you cry. Too-ra-loo-ra-loo-ral, too-ra-loo-ra-li, too-ra-loo-ra-loo-ral, that's an Irish lullaby. Good job, everyone. Let's sing it again now that we know how it goes. Too-ra-loo-ra-loo-ral, too-ra-loo-ra-li, Toor-a-loo-ra-loo-ral. Hush, now don't you cry. Toor-a-loo-ra-loo-ral. Toor-a-loo-ra-li. Toor-a-loo-ra-loo-ral. That's an Irish lullaby. Now that we're feeling all sleepy and cozy, it's time to say goodbye. And grown-ups can stay tuned after the goodbye song for a quick behind-the-story section where we talk about early literacy ideas. Let's do our homework song that reminds us of the 5 things we do that will help our brains get ready for learning and school. We read, we write, we sing, we play, and we talk with each other throughout the day. And that helps us get so smart. Okay, we ready for our song? Read and write, sing and play, talk with me all day. These are the 5 things we do, my brain will grow this way. Thank you for coming, my friends. I love when you come to story time. I hope you have a good St. Patrick's Day. Don't forget to wear green. See you next month. Bye. Hi, grown-ups. Thanks for coming to Storytime today and having a great literacy experience with your child. Little moments like that all add up in the grand scheme of things when it comes to your child's developing brain. Giving them the opportunity to sing, enjoy stories, do movements, and chat about their ideas are simple acts that lay the foundation for language learning and later school experiences. Today, I wanted to put in a plug for nursery rhymes, since we did a basic nursery rhyme today. When it comes to little ways to help your child, nursery rhymes sure pack a punch. And not just for babies and toddlers, even young school-age children can reap the benefits. Nursery rhymes are short and pithy, and they are great for children's attention spans. Their catchy rhythms lend themselves to being repeated again and again. This is great to practice memory skills, and once your child knows the nursery rhyme all by themselves, getting the chance to recite it or perform it, that's a great confidence builder. Do you ever notice how reciting a nursery rhyme can feel like a workout for your mouth sometimes? You'll notice that nursery rhymes have lots of alliteration, lots of repeated sounds, like in Hickory Dickory Dock, where that sharp K sound is used multiple times in every line. But this is great for giving kids super skills in articulating words and strengthening their mouth and tongue muscles. Not only that, but rhythm and rhyme in nursery rhymes help them hear the individual sounds in the words, too. And this is so useful later when they're sounding out words in their reading years. Since most nursery rhymes are widely known, they're easy to share, too. It can be fun to include other people in your life in learning nursery rhymes, like showing off for grandma or grandpa, or telling a babysitter which rhymes you've been working on and have them practice too. Often a nursery rhyme will contain a whole story in just a few sentences too, like Humpty Dumpty or Little Miss Muffet. Older kids can practice acting out the rhyme or retelling what happens in their own words to practice their narrative skills. Some fun ways to include nursery rhymes in your day: have a nursery rhyme of the week that you could practice a couple times a day, maybe as a ritual during a certain time of day, like when you're ready for bed or going on a walk or finishing up lunch. Or you could test your child's memory and say the majority of the words, but pause and leave a gap to see if your child remembers the next word or the last word in the line, or if they can pick out the rhyming word. Or what I like to do is say the wrong word on purpose, which kids can find so funny when they get to correct you. Once your kids are much older, even teenagers have fun with a game of charades where you try and guess which nursery rhymes you're acting out. Well, I hope you have so much fun using nursery rhymes with your child. I hope you go through your favorites or maybe explore some new ones. I bet your library has collections of nursery rhymes that would be so fun to explore. Thanks for doing these with your child and for coming to Storytime today. We'll see you next month with a new episode. See you next time.